Okay, so we'll see how we can get through this without source sheets, but it'll be okay. So start with the Mishnah here on Tzadik Ted Amud Bet. So the Mishnah in Menachot tells you, Shnei Shulchanot Hayu Ba'olam Bifneim Al Petach Habayit, Echad Shel Shayish Ve'Echad Shel Zahav, Al Shel Shayish Nodim Lechem Apanim Bechnisato Al Shel Zahav Yitziato Shemalin Bekodesh Velo Moridin. So we know that there are the Lechem Apanim, the showbread, shoebread, whatever it's called. There are two tables.
Base bread.
One was made of marble, one of gold, and they would put the bread on the marble one when they came in, and on the gold as they're coming out, because you always ma'alin b'kodesh m'omri din. And the Mishnah continues. The gold one on the inside is where the lechem are always. And the kohanim, four kohanim would go in. So two were carrying the bread, two were carrying the bazichin, and then there were two who'd go in to take the old ones. Right, two would be standing facing this way, two would be facing standing this way. Right, and they would, right, basically switch this fat. Right, one would put it down, one would pick it up. Right, this way there was always new bread on the shulchan. Right, that's what the Mishnah tells you. Okay, Shneamar lefanai tamid, because the pasuk says that the bread has to be in front of me. What's the keyword? Tamid, always. Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilo Eilu Notlin Veinu Manichin Af Hi Aita Tamid, said no big deal. Rabbi Yossi said it doesn't matter, even if those one took and those one put it down, not like with this, you know, switch of the hands, it would still be sufficient. That would be called Tamid. Now if you skip to the Gemara says Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer Afilu Sileket Yishana Shachrit V'Sider L'Chadasha Arvit Ein Bekach Klum. Even if you would take off the old one in the morning and put the new one on at night, that would not be a problem. The Gemara says, really? Elmani mekayim lefanai tamid. Now, what does it mean that the bread has to be in front of me always? Shelo yalin shulchan belo lechem. That it shouldn't go overnight without bread. Now, what seems to be the machloket here in the Gemara?
What does tamid mean?
Good. What does tamid mean? What are the two possibilities?
Either all day and night, or just night.
Either all the time, or just it shouldn't be without it.
Okay, I'll put it the way Reb Lachemzin.
One day to the next.
So I'll put it the way Reb Lachemzin did it, which is, I think, the most succinct way. Constant versus consistent.
Interesting.
Right? Constant versus consistent. Right? Meaning, the first day, it has to be there always. Rabbi Yossi says it just needs to consistently be there. Meaning, don't go a day without it. There's consistency.
Okay.
Right? Not constant. It doesn't have to be there all the time. You could take it in the morning, right? But consistency. Now, this is one of these amazing moves in the Gemara, that once the Gemara is asking philosophically, what is the nature of tmidut, right, or tmidiyut, of constancy versus consistency, it then launches into a discussion of other places in halacha or hashgafa where that is relevant. In Amar Rabbi Ami Midvarav Shor Rabbi Yossi Nilmod, from Rabbi Yossi, who believes that tamid means consistent, we learn that afilu lo shana adam ela perek echad shachrit uperek echad arvit kiyem mitzvah lo yamush sefer haTorah zeh mipicha. From here we learn that even if you learn a little bit during the day, a perek during the day, a perek of Torah at night, you have not violated the prohibition of the Torah not leaving your mouth. Because he assumes that what does it mean to leave your mouth? So if you believe that to have something tamid means to have it consistently, then to give up on Torah would be to lack consistency, not constancy. Right? Not constant Torah, but consistent Torah. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Afil lo kara adam ela kriyat shma shachrit v'arvit, kiyem lo yamush. Even if you only said Shema in the morning and at night, you fulfill this obligation. But
rather than saying Shema other times, or is that
meaning
that's the only
even
Torah
by saying Shema, that's the only Torah you learn?
Oh.
That's enough. V'davar ze asur lomro b'fnei amei haaretz. But you're not allowed to tell the Tam Amei haaretz, because then that's what they'll suffice with, and that's all they'll learn. Rava Amar, Rava tells you, mitzvah l'omro b'fnei amei haaretz. It is a mitzvah to tell it to amei haaretz. Why?
Right.
Or they won't be mityaesh. Right, they'll be midaktik in at least doing that, or they won't
they
be mityaesh.
Anything, and they told them you could fulfill it just by saying.
Correct. Now, the interesting thing, like I said, this is one of those beautiful times in the Gemara where the line between halacha and agadah, halacha and machshava, is like, it's totally unclear where that line is supposed to be drawn. And to be fair, this is not just halacha, this is public policy. Right, because you have a machloket. Even if you think the halacha is like that, is it good or bad public policy to let people know that's the halacha? And in that context, the Gemara then introduced this wonderful conversation. Shaul ben Dama ben Achoto. Okay, someone should check what just happened. For anyone listening, everyone's okay. Just a glass that broke. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Shaul ben Dama ben Achoto, Rabbi Yishmael, et Rabbi Yishmael. Ben Dama, the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, asked Rabbi Yishmael. Now, this is the most incredible line. Never say this to anybody. Kagonani, let's say you got someone like me. Shelamati kol ha-Torah kula. I've learned everything.
One of my friends used this against me in an argument.
Mahu lilmod chokhmat yivanit. Can I learn chokhmat yivanit? Now, I want to be clear that this is a separate shir. We're going to have to do this next week. We cannot do this all in 1 week. What that phrase means, that is very complicated, and it's not what you think it means, right? According to almost all Rishonim, if you just want indication that it doesn't mean what you think it means, you can see that Rashi doesn't think it thinks what it says, what you, right? Rashi already doesn't think what you think it means. It does not mean philosophy, according to Rashi, right? It means what?
Like the religion?
Nope, it means secret Greek codes. That is what it means in most of Shas. In most of Shas, Chochma Yivanit does not mean philosophy. It means Greek language, specifically codes that were used to send messages to the government to rat out on Jews and things like that. That's how it's presented everywhere else in the Gemara. But we'll see that. Rimazim is what Rashi says.
Where is that Rashi?
I forget if it's in this. I think it's in one of the other sugyas. It's not here. But we'll come back to that. But hold that point. Ma'alumor Chochma Yivanit. So what did he say to him? Lo yamush sefer haTorah hazeh mipicha v'higita bo yom v'layla. So the pasuk says, the Torah shall not leave your mouth, and you shall learn it day and night. And therefore, he says, you want to learn Chochma Yivanit? Say uvdok shah she'ina lo min hayom v'lo min halayla. Go find time which is neither day nor night. Ulamon bo chokhmat yivanit. Good luck.
Hey,
right?
Let's go look at that whole Danish mushroom.
Upliga. Very good, nice. Lambda's there. Upliga de Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. De Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. There's argues of Shmuel bar Nachmeni. That Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Pasuk ze, eino lo chovav, lo mitzvah, ela bracha. This goes against him who says that this Pasuk is not an obligation at all. Forget obligation all the time and obligation once a day. It is simply a bracha. He saw that Yoshua loved the Torah. So Amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshua. So God said to Yoshua, "Kol kach chavivin alecha divrei Torah, lo yamush sefer haTorah is amid picha." Because you love the Torah so much, so it will not leave your mouth. Tanur Yishmal, the Beitar Lecha Chova, Vietar Lishor Yishai Liftor Asmecha Mehen. The Torah should not be viewed to you as an obligation, and therefore you cannot exempt yourself from it. Okay, there's a lot to unpack in this Agadata, but if you had to tell me what is the theme of this Agadata, which is why it's clearly not what the Chachma Yivanit, what is the theme of this Agadata from beginning to end?
Tamid.
Well, it's a mix of Halacha and Agadah. What is the theme? Talmud Torah or Talmud Torah and Bittul Torah, right? Meaning, it is clear that the central piece of this Gemara is not the fact that he wants to learn Chochmah Yivanit. It's that he wants to not learn Torah. Right, it's clear that that's the fundamental axis of this Gemara from beginning to end. Because think about where it appears. It appears in the middle of a discussion of does Tamid and related themes mean constant or consistent? Does it mean you have to learn Torah all day? And what does the Gemara say? That it probably means either a bracha or consistent, then the Gemara has a machloket about what?
What that means. What
the definition of
whether freedom. Even if you think it's consistent and you can be yotze with a perek or yotze with kriyat shema, whether you should tell this in public policy, and then what does the Gemara introduce? What is the point of this Gemara in context?
What is, like, are you
I want you to be fair far, with this Gemara.
How far should you go, like, you know?
Well, we gotta be, there's two possibilities, really, of this Gemara. One is that this Gemara is evidence of a third position, which is that the Tamid of Talmud Torah is constant. So you can find a time which is lo yom v'lo laila, that you can learn anything other than Torah. Right? It doesn't seem to be about Chochmah Yevani. This is a Bittul Torah sugya. Right? Right? And Roy Lam points this out, and we'll come to it. Roy Lam, in his chapter of surveying the modern critique of Torah Umada, says that there are multiple critiques that people raise of Torah Umada. One is against the content of what you are learning. The other is the Bittul Torah critique, which is, it doesn't matter what you're learning. It's the fact that you're doing anything but learning Torah. Right?
Can you define the Torah?
That's what this Gemara is trying to do.
Okay.
Right? So, right? Isn't that what this Gemara is trying to do? It's trying to define Talmud Torah and Bittul Torah.
Right.
Right? What meaning? How much does my obligation of Talmud Torah extend to? And therefore, now, why do I call this an Agadata and not Halacha? So it's sort of it's somewhere in between. This was a point that Rav Bloch made when he was asked about YU and secular studies, where, well...
What a name.
Bloch. Anyway, so he points out that while certain posts give like Rav Chana Wasserman and the Birkat Shmuel, Baruch Bar Leibowitz, were fire and brimstone against, and they said, oh, it's against the Gemara, you can't have it. He said, these whole sugyot are subject to agadic texts where these standards are different. These aren't pure halachic texts. They're somewhere in between. They're somewhere in between. Now, what is the role of this particular statement? So, again, what are the possibilities? One is, if you take it literally, then this is a yet unexplored position which believes that Tamid in the context of Talmud Torah is...
Every second you...
Is Tamid. Is constant, not consistent. Yeah. But what's the other possibility?
It's consistent and not constant.
And then what's the point of the story?
Well said, Seb.
The story makes it sound like it's constant.
Oh, the story is
how ridiculous.
They should learn Torah like every day, consistent.
No, come on, guys.
It's that you can't like everything else would have to go into like that. Like,
oh, for God's sake, God. Guys, what's the line before it?
I'm a lot better at doing
it. Are you allowed to tell people that that's the halacha or not? This is an example, not of a halachic statement, but an example of it's also to say that to people. Yeah. Remember, the Gemara just had a machloket about whether you're allowed to tell people that they can be yotzei their chiyuv with minimal amount. Right? Is this an extension of that? Now, there is a third possibility, which is a very lumdish possibility. And this is where we're going to get more into Oren's preferred topic here. Right? Which is, and this is what Rav Baruch Meir writes, which is, maybe the Gemara is introducing a different chalos, which is not Bittul Torah because you aren't learning Torah, but
Because you're learning
something else which takes up your time. There's one thing not to learn. It's another thing to devote yourself to something else, which is not Bittul Torah is a waste of time, because maybe you're not over Bittul Torah because you only have to learn morning and night, but it's Bittul Torah because I'm actively engaged in a limud, which is not Torah.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe the Gemara is introducing a different type of category of... Right? Bittul Torah, like active Bittul Torah, not... Now, coming to Oren's question, what does Bittul Torah mean? Right, so Bittul Torah is not really clear. Does it mean, right, I am not learning Torah, or I'm actively anti-learning, right? What does it mean, pashtus in the Gemara, is I'm not learning when I'm supposed to?
Look, even if you specifically devote time to avoid learning Torah versus learning something that's not Torah, it still seems Bittul.
Possibly.
There's also an issue like you devote time to learn Torah. There's time devoted to learn Torah, and you don't learn Torah during that.
Okay.
Why?
So guys. So again, we have to do this in stages. We will come back to the Chachma Yevani point, but I want to first touch on the Bittul Torah point, because that's clearly the general contour of this Agadata, is a discussion about the nature of Talmud Torah. Right? How much do I have to learn? How much can I get away with? And again, it is somewhere in between halacha and agada, especially since the end of the Gemara is that it's a bracha, right? This is somewhere in between. Is this even a halacha at all, right? And if it's not, it's a bracha, and how do you interpret it, and etc. Here's the first problem that everybody has with this Gemara, and that is that, and this is why I sent you the sheet, if you want to pull out your phone, you can look at it, is that it seems to contradict a Gemara, because here, who are the Baalei HaMemra? Rav Shimon bar Yochai holds that what is the obligation fundamentally of Talmud Torah? Kriyat Shema Shachar, Kriyat Shema Erev. Who's the Baal HaMemra that you should learn, who seems to be the Baal HaMemra in the Gemara that you should learn all day?
Rabbi Yishmael.
So what's the problem? So the problem is as follows. The Gemara in Brachot Lamed Hei Amud Beis says as follows. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, you can either, I send the short sheet, you can pull up Svari if it helps you. Whatever it is. Rav Chanina bar Papi Rami, Ktiv, Vilokachti digoni bi'ito, Uchtiv asafta digonecha. The pasuk says, and I shall take grain in its time, and it says, and you shall gather your grain. Right? So is it that you shall gather it, or that it will be gathered for you? Right? Which is it? So the Gemara says, Lokasha. Kan bizman Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. Kan bizman Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. If you're doing God's will, it'll be gathered for you. Not, you will have to gather it. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. Then the Gemara says, Asafta digonecha. You will gather your grain. Mata mud lomar. Lefish ne'emar. Lo yamush sefer ha-Torah hazem mipicha. Remember the pasuk that the Gemara is an elaboration on. The pasuk says that the Torah should not leave your mouth. Yachol dvarim kichtavan. Maybe you think that means literally, like you have to be learning all day, all night. How do I know it's not true? Talmud lomar vasafta digonecha, because the Torah tells you, and you shall gather your grain. Meaning, there are other pursuits that are legitimate. Hanheing bahen minhag derech eretz. What you should do is
derech eretz.
What does derech eretz mean?
Like an occupation.
Yeah. A normal life occupation. Right, that's what it means. Who holds this? Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. And guess who the next position is?
Rabbi Yishmael.
Oh, hold the thought. First, let's see what he says. Rabbi Yishmael says, you're allowed to have a job. You're not out of a job.
Maybe he's arguing that having a job.
Why? Wait. Let's get the contradiction, then let's solve it. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Shimon ben Yochai says, can't be. Can't be, you should work. Pasnished. Efshar Adam Choresh Bishat Charisha. Vizareh Bishat Zriya. You're going to plow, and you have to plow, and plant, and you have to plant. Vikotzer Bishat Ksira, and harvest with the harvest. Vidosh Bishat Disha, and thresh when you're supposed to thresh. Vizareh Bishat Aruach, and winnow when the wind is blowing. Torah Mataela. When are you going to learn Torah? What's going to happen to Torah? Ella. Rather, if you keep the Torah, so the work we've done by other people, but if you're forced, then you'll have to, right, you don't follow the Torah, you'll have to work. It'll be worse because you have to do other people's work. And then the Gemara, in a wonderful line, says, Amar Abaye, Harbe Asuke Rabbi Yishmael. Many people followed Rabbi Yishmael and got a job. V'alta biyadan. And they were successful. They learned a little, but they worked. It was great. Kirshim ben Yochai. Some people said, okay, I'll just learn Torah all day. I'll rely on God. Shockingly, V'lo alta biyadan. It didn't work. It wasn't a great idea. Can you wait a second? I understand you're exploding. Wait. Amarlu Rava l'Rabbanan. Rava said to Rabbanan, do me a favor. Nisan Tishrei, do not show your face in the Beit Midrash. So that you can work and you won't have to work all year. Meaning, right, Nisan, which is the beginning of the harvest season, Tishrei, which is the end, right? Do your harvesting then. Don't come to the Beit Midrash, and then you'll be free the rest of the year because you'll have your whole harvest. Right, he says, the early generations are not like the later ones. The early generations made their Torah set and their work secondary, right? Not set, Zu vizum nit kamav yadan. So both their work and their Torah was successful. Dorot acharonim shasum lachlan keva. Then all right, the later generations try to work keva, and their Torah is secondary. Zu vizum lo nit kamav yadan. It didn't succeed. So the apparent stira that everyone talks about, that everyone drives, is okay. These two Gemara are about how much time should be devoted to Talmud Torah. What counts as bittul Torah? In the Gemara in Brachot, it's very clear. Rabbi Shmuel says, get a job, no problem, great, that's the best thing to do. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Oy gevald, Torah matehela, if you're working, God, you'll never learn Torah. And then in the Gemara in Menachot, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, hey, you know, it's Kriya Shema in the morning, Kriya Shema at night, no big deal.
Yeah.
Right? And Rabbi Shmuel says, no. You want to learn Chochma Yivanit? You'd better find a time that's not day and not night. Oy vey. Right? Okay. Yes.
The Chochma Yivanit thing is not mutually exclusive from the opinion that you can have a job. Because it could be saying that, yeah, you can have a job, and then you should learn Torah, but you shouldn't learn things that aren't Torah.
Good. So what Oren is saying is already essentially what the Birkat Shmuel said, is that what I said before, is to say that the solution to the Gemara is that there's two questions here. That maybe Rabbi Shmuel isn't saying you have to learn Torah all day. What he's saying is you can't not learn Torah to study something else. This second type of Bittul Torah, not quantitative Bittul Torah, but qualitative Bittul Torah. Meaning I am devoting myself to Limud, but not Limud HaTorah. And that's Birkat Shmuel, and this is what he writes. I'll read it to you. Nireh barura davar diyeh shnei minei bitl tara. There are two types. This is very lamdish. He's very lamdish. It's Talmud Reb Chaim. Okay? Very hard to read. Very hard. Very, very, very hard. But this piece actually happens not to be so bad, but often it's very hard.
So he's a good Talmud.
Okay, anyway. So yesh bitl tara yideh she'ino lomeid. There's passive bitl tara. I am not learning. And then there's Bittul Torah where I sit and I remove the Torah from my heart. Like if I'm doing frivolous things or jesting things, scorning things. Speak in it, another other thing, not. Speaking dvarim b'teilim is inactive. I'm removing the Torah. What's the difference between passive and active bittul Torah? Which is imnu lechad scharal dvarim b'teilim. Like, no, loyal ze heter dumanut mishum dumanut. And mutarli bittul Torah. Dumanut ends a bittul Torah. He said, let's say someone would pay you to do this. It still would be usher, right? To do a job is mutter, right? Because you're just not learning. But these things which remove the Torah from your heart, you can't do. Now the problem is that what is he assuming? The chachma ivanit is
not Torah.
It's like philosophy or some other limud, rather than something which is problematic. Right? Because of some other reason, and that's why we'll have to get back to it. Right? But he's making an assumption in the definition of Chachma Yivanit. But that's his solution to the problem. Yes.
Okay, so first off, Usher's
exploding. What do you want?
Shmuel, no, the something Shmuel, Birka Shmuel?
Yes.
Okay, so first I have a question on that. If you spent all day...
You get three questions.
I
get
three... Oh, boy.
It's like a genie. You get three wishes, and then you're done. Okay, and you can't ask, can I get more questions? The answer is no. Okay?
It's like, I wish that I was allowed to get more questions. I wish for an infinite number of
That's
questions.
That's good, but you get no wishes. You only get questions. So it doesn't work.
Okay,
go.
So, on the Birka Shmuel.
Yeah.
If I were to be a, you know, someone who learns in Kolel or someone who learns in Yeshiva.
Rachmana Litzlan, yeah?
What?
Rachmana Litzlan, yeah, okay.
And then I devoted a small part of my day, and I made that part keva. From 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
He would not like it.
He still would not
he would
like
not
it.
Like
even though
it.
You spend the rest of the day learning Torah.
Correct. This is like a fame. I didn't put this on my source sheet, but this is one of my favorite discussions of all time. Is a tshuva of the Maharshal that he wrote to the Rama, or the Rama responding to a question of the. So the Maharshal from Aluria and the Rama are cousins. Mm-hmm. So the Maharshal writes to the Rama and he says, "I heard a rumor about you, cousin, that you learned philosophy. Oy gewalt!" And the Rama gives the most amazing defense: "Is listen." I don't do it all the time. You know when I learned philosophy? Like Friday afternoon when everyone else just takes a break and taking it to Yol and is just bottling Zman. So then I do a little philosophy. What do you want from my life? Everyone else is just wasting time. Why is this a problem? Right? Otherwise I don't learn it. It's a very, very fascinating dialogue between them. Always a conversation going on in my family, yeah.
Okay.
So the next thing is that we have this argument between Rabbi Ishmael, who in one Gemara says you should always be learning all the time, no breaks.
Yes, this is the contradiction we're dealing with. Yeah,
right. And the other one is
same thing.
The same contradiction but in the opposite direction, right?
Yes. So that's the question.
The same contradiction. Only one contradiction.
Okay, please don't offer a question as a suggestion. If you what you want is an answer to my question, then say you're trying to answer it.
Okay,
would you
I'm
like
trying,
to do it?
Yes,
okay,
trying.
Good. Would anyone like to offer a different resolution
I'd
to
like
the contradiction?
To the
thank you, Usher. Go ahead.
I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Good, thank you. This is like Jeopardy. I have an answer which I'm phrasing as a question. Because then I can win the $500. Oh, right.
Okay, so what
no
points
about that,
different
yeah.
people?
No. Shurim by Yochai in both cases?
No, that's not what I mean. I don't mean the Gemara is talking about different people. Only Rabbi Yishmael is talking about different people. When Rabbi Yishmael says, oh, you need to make your Torah keva every single day, all the time. You're learning Torah always. He's talking about someone who, when they spend all day learning Torah, all of that Torah will be powerful, good Torah that he can, it's like he's getting something from it. But from someone, something he's getting from it, it's good learning. Not like if you, okay, let's be honest with ourselves. If we all sat in the base all day, 24/7, how much of that learning would be
good?
Really good
so who
learning?
Says that? The Tosfos Rosh. The Tosfos Rosh says as follows. So he says, "Vitema halakaman mukilav shemir chayvus manchein rezoshom makom." The Gomer lang lazer dechayirim. Right, what's going on? He says, "V'yesh lomar divade b'tzadikim ayrikra." Daktiv ayam shemoa ela einam tzadikim gemurim shiur uyin shadasam alachna acherim. He said. The Gemara is clearly talking about tzaddikim because it's in the context of Hayam Shema Tishmon. So what is going on? It must be there's different levels of tzaddikim. Right? There's different levels of tzaddikim for Shem Bayochai. This is Inami Chanina for Papa Darzle, the Krakari Shmuel, the Muki Krav Tzaddikim Gemurim. He says, right? So, well, maybe, right, that's what he's saying. The difference is that, but he said this from Shem Bayochai. According to Shem Bayochai, it's mid-level tzaddikim. How does this go? Right, meaning mid-level tzaddikim, it won't work for them not to work, right? That's the problem with Shem Baruchai, right? And maybe, well, actually, sorry, he's not dealing with the contradiction, he's dealing with internally what the problem is. But yes, right, several Rishonim say what you're saying, the difference is the person, but who's the person? You can take the Rosh and basically say what you're saying, right? Which is, maybe it depends. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the average person should work, right? In the Gemara, in Menachot, he's talking about Ben Dama, who knows Kol Torah Kula, right? And Rav Shurim Bar Yochai, maybe it's the opposite. Why? Because Rav Shurim Bar Yochai in Menachot is talking about Balabatim. How do we know? That's what he's saying, right? Whether you can say it to a Balabat, an Amaretz or not. And who's he talking about in Brachot?
There he's talking about
Tzaddikim, that's the context, right? So you could basically take the Rosh and, you know, or his general thing that the difference here is who we're talking to and say that that's the resolution. Right? There's no real contradiction, right? Even here, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yochai are not arguing. They're just talking about Ben Dama versus Amaretz, right? And there, and that's what the Rosh is saying. He's saying, but if it's a Tzaddik, shouldn't he not need to work? So why would Rabbi Shmuel think they need to work? The answer is different levels of tzaddikim, right? And mid-level tzaddikim will need to work, but Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai thinks it's legitimate for them to still try to just learn Torah. And Rabbi Shmuel reads it and says, no, even perfect tzaddikim will have to work, right?
Does this mean that, would this work as, back to my questions, would this work as a possible like additional explanation for the tshuva of the Ramah to the Maharsha?
Marshal.
Marashal. Wait, who's the Marshal? A different person?
It's a different person.
Different
yes.
person. Okay. So would that work as like a possible explanation for the tshuva?
So Shmuel Eagles as opposed to Shlomo Luria. They're not the same person. They're not the same century. You know?
Why wouldn't that be another possible explanation?
What do you mean?
That he knows Kol Torah Kula?
Because we say that doesn't work. You're not
learning.
Then you can't learn.
Oh,
even
right. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Ravya also asked this question. Ravya, German Risha. He says, maybe, he gives two answers. He says, maybe Rabbi Shmuel is saying, not that he himself thinks you aren't allowed to work or do something else, he thinks you can. He's saying, according to Ben Dama, right, it's usur. What does that mean? You clearly thought that you had to learn Kol Torah Kula, right? And then maybe I can do something else. Well, right? That's not true, right? You clearly aren't the type of person who thinks you can work. Right? So according to you, then you can't then carve out time for Chachma Yevanit. It's not that, right? I don't think that. I don't think you should think that. Right? Inam, Ivis Manasiva Dagan, Sarach Lomar Lahu, Kadamalu Ravel, Rabbanu Zivanachor, where he says different times. During the work time, right? He said the continuation of the Gemara in Brachot is that during Nisan and Tishrei, go work. But the other 10 months, learn Torah. And during the other 10 months, when you're not doing something, when you're learning Torah, you should only be learning Torah. Right?
It's possible he's like saying it rhetorically, like he's...
Good. So I would have just said, I don't understand this whole thing. I would have said the obvious right shot here is that he's yelling at him. This is Musar, which is, you think you know Kol HaTorah Kula. Right, you think there's nothing left to learn, so you have to find other things, right? Go back to Torah, right? That's how I would have read it. That there's no contradiction. That Rish Shmuel thinks you're allowed to work, but if someone thinks he knows Kol HaTorah Kula, right, and therefore he has time for other things because I'm done with Torah, right? Idiot, go back to learning, right? Oh, good. So how do you deal with Rishon Bar-Yochai? So here's my Lamb's suggestion. I think he's right. Right.
Not conditional, just a psychological fact that the more you know of something, the more you realize you don't know everything.
Yes.
And if you think you know everything, that means correct. You know even less.
Correct. What's that effect called?
The Mandela effect.
No,
that's the one where like logos are. That's one where logos can change.
I should know the name of it.
Either Dunning-Kruger or Bader-Meinhof.
The Kruger one, yeah. It's the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yeah. What's it called?
That's what the Dunning-Kruger effect. Yeah.
Wait, which one's the one where the Dunning-Kruger sound?
It's the Dunning-Kruger effect. Okay, guys. So here's what Ray Lamb says. Okay, guys.
Right, I know that.
So he said, first of all, you have to know there's not actually a contradiction because Rishon Bar Yochai in the Gemara in Menachot, does he say you should only learn once at night and once during the morning? No, he says you're yotzei. What's he saying in the Gemara on Shabbos?
You should do more.
That's more of a aspirational statement.
I'm a kayim kind of.
But he said there's still a tension because it's not just that he. Right, you could say that, except what's the problem with saying that?
The fact that we say, oh, it disproves the other opinion that says, oh, this is just a bracha.
Right? The other problem is that, well, he said, how would you support that read? By saying that, no, the Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai says, this is true, but you shouldn't tell anybody. Right? Also, I'm right. So it could be that his chiyuv is night and day. The aspiration of what you should be telling people is, learn all day. But Rai Lam thinks there's one more piece to hear. And this is a story that you should all know, so I won't read it inside because you don't have it in front of you. But let me tell it to you outside. Shem Bar Yochai. So there was once a time when there was a machloket about the how we should relate to the Romans. And there were three people. Rabbi Huda Bar Iloi said, oh, they are wonderful, they build markets and roads, etc. And then Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Oy gevalt, they're evil. They make marketplaces so they can set up brothels. They set up bathhouses just for hedonistic pleasure.
Yeah, those are creepy.
They make up, they build sharim, they build bridges for taxes. And Yehuda ben right, and then they tell on, and then Rabbi Yossi is silent. So what happens to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai?
He is
the Romans want to kill him. So what does he do? He runs away to a cave. And he's there for how long?
4 years. Where he writes the Zohar.
12 years.
12 years
and then...
12 plus 1, thank you. He's there for 12 years. Yeah. He walks out and what happens?
He burns up a field into his gaze.
Correct. Everything. He sees people working and they all burnt up. Right, burnt up. And then what happens? God says, go back in.
This is what
right?
You're doing in my world.
Correct. You're coming out and burning my world. Go back in. You go in for another year. What happens? What happens? Even, they come out.
And his son
so,
looks
good. Wait. So first they see a guy who's, right? So first, yes, his son still burned things, but he fixes things. And then what happens? They meet a guy who's carrying two things of flowers. And he says, what is that for? I mean, technically it was Hadassah, but okay. And he says, what are they for? For Kavod Shabbos, why two? Zohar v'Shamor. And he says, oh, the Jews love mitzvahs. So Rai Lam says, well, you know what's going on? It's a change in perspective.
Hold on.
The Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, in his early life, can you not hear the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai of the cave saying the Gemara in Brachot? Lord all day, don't work, right? This is the guy who lived miraculously for 12 years, right? In a cave, right? With no clothes, underground, eating carobs from a magic tree, right? And literally, he just learned all day, didn't work. And then what happens when he tries to apply that perspective to the world? God says, get back in the cave. And then he comes out and he begins to appreciate the common man who's working, right, who cares about mitzvot. And he says, it's not a contradiction from Rabbi Yochai. Rabbi Yochai, at the beginning of his life, he only articulated the aspirational because he had these high standards. And then, as he realized that the average person can't be held to that standard, he said, okay, that's still an ideal, but the real is that you should learn, right, Pam? Maybe you shouldn't tell people that because I still want people to strive. But the halacha is pambiyo, and therefore he says, so it's not a contradiction, right? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is saying his halachic statement is aspirational statement, and whether he focuses on the halachic or the legal or the aspirational one depends on which stage of life he's in, right? Is he in that stage where you should be living in a cave, right, eating magic carobs, right? That's literally what happens, right? Or are you at the stage where you should begin to recognize that that's not necessarily how life works for everybody. And he notes that you have Midrashim where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai has these types of perspectives. So he notes that in the Mechilta, the Gemara says as follows: Lo hevi'ena Kadosh Baruch Hu derech pshutal eretz Yisrael derech midbar. God didn't bring the Jews directly into Eretz Yisrael, but through the desert. Why? So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, im ani mivi'ach shavit Yisrael la'aretz miyad machzikim adam b'sadeh v'adam b'karmo v'mdelim min haTorah. They're going to start working and they won't learn Torah. Ella akifim b'mar b'mshana shiocholin man v'shotin mei be'er v'ator nichlu b'gufan. So I'll give them the miracles of man and all of that. And then mikana Rav Shimon Bar Yochai omer lo nidna Torah lidrosh el ochlei haman v'shavin lahem ochlei truma. The Torah was only given to those who eat man. That's it. The only people who get to learn Torah are people who eat man, meaning people who don't have to work. Those are the only people who really deserve Torah. This is the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai of Brachot, or the Brachot of cave, pre-cave. In Mechilta, the Rishmael in Bishalach, you get the following. Divar Yom Biyomo, Rav Shimon Omer, Kedei Shilkot Adam Me'ayom Amachar Ke'en Me'er Shabbat Arv Shabbat. It's talking about the man, right? How much would they get it? And then in that context, Rabbi Shmuel says, Shana Adam Shtei Alachot B'Shachrit U'Shtayim B'Arvit, if you learn two alachot in the morning, two at night, V'osek Melachto Kol Hayom, and you work all day, Ma'alin Alav Ki'ilu Ki'en Kol HaTorah Kula. So then it's as if you kept the whole Torah. What? Okay, whatever, different ones, right? Perek, two alachot, Shema, whatever. Mikan Hayar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Lo Nidna Torah Lidrosh El Ochlei Haman. From here, Rabbi Shmuel learned that you should only get Torah. The Torah is only given to those who eat the man. Haketzad. What does that mean? Hayoshev Doreish V'lo Yodeh Meheichan Ochel V'Shotem Meheichan Leoveish Mitkaseh. Ha Lo Nitna Torah Lidrosh El Ochlei Haman Shneim Lam Ochlei Shoma. What does that mean? That if you learn all day and you don't know where your food is coming from, and you don't know where your clothes are coming from. Right, but you find clothes, you see that it comes to Ochlei Haman. So what's going on in this midrash? It's a little bit weird, right? It's right after you say, if you work all day, it's fine. And then, based on that, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, it's only given to Haman. But he said, what's the point here? And this one, is he saying that you can't work? What's he saying? No, he's recognizing that, what is he saying? That the Torah will be fulfilled by the people who are willing to risk it. Right, that I'm willing to eat. Not just people who actually don't work, but if people are willing to learn and not necessarily know where their meal comes from. But this is slightly different than the other one, right? It's not that the Torah is Mekayim, it's right a certain. But again, because both of these midrashim essentially, right? Though he notes the difference between them are still that pre, right? This is Rabbi Shmuel, is Rabbi Shmuel going through? What does it mean, right? Do I really not have to work? Is it people who are willing to be in that situation? Right, that's really where Torah, but again, that's aspirational. But the actual chiyuv, Rosh Hashanah, and again, the actual implementation of that chiyuv is what he's okay with at the end of his life after the God's rebuke to him. Now, what about Rabbi Ishmael? So again, Rabbi Ishmael, the easy thing is to say there's a difference between... So either you say, what I think is the simplest pshat is Musar, which is maybe another way of saying it's according to Ben Dama, right? I mean, if you think you know Kol HaTorah Kula, then you better be learning more, right? The Dunning-Kruger effect, great, right? Or something like that. Or you say, look, he's okay with work, but he's not okay with a different limud. There's one more Gemara they bring into conversation here, which is the Gemara in Kiddushin at the end. So the Mishnah says, it's a whole discussion about the different types of works you're supposed to do. If you work with women, you shouldn't be mityached with them because you're comfortable with them. You shouldn't teach your children a profession that will make them be around women. Rabbi Meir Omer, Lo'olam Yilmar Adam, Yilamed Adam Bino Umanut Nikiya V'Kala, should always teach your child an easy and ethical work, a clean work, V'Yitpalel L'Misha Osher V'Nachazim Shalo, and pray to he who has wealth, She'ein Umanut She'ein Baniyut V'Ashirut, because every profession you can be rich or poor, She'ein Shalo Aniyut Min Amanut V'Lo Ashirut Min Amanut, wealth doesn't come from their business, I'll call it V'Yishkuta, it comes from God. And Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ra'itim Yamecha Chayev Ov Sheish Lam Umanut. Rav Shimon ben Elazar proves it, and he says, have you ever seen an animal work as a profession? Hein Medar Shilo Bitzar. Right?
No.
And he says, V'alo Lo Nivra L'Sham Sheini, V'Nivra L'Sham Eshkoni. He says, but they're created, right, they get Parnasa, and they're created to serve human beings. V'Nivra L'Sham Eshkoni, and I serve God, Eini Dinjin, V'Nivra L'Sham Eshkoni. Shouldn't I be able to support myself without pain? El Shaho Rati Masai, but I'm at Russia. Ikipachti Parnasadi. Abagurion Ish Sadinomer, Misham Abaguria. Lo Yamamed Adam. So he says, okay, a bunch of dishonest things you shouldn't teach. And at the end of the Mishnah, Rebbe Nehorai Omer, Maniach Ani Kolomanuchaba Olamanim Ve'eni Malamed Bini Ela Torah. He says, I give up on all professions. And I only teach my son Torah. Because you get reward in this world and the next. And other professions are not like that. Every other profession, you work, great. When you stop working, you die. This is how the world used to be, right? Not before pensions and the like. Right? Where your children took care of you. Otherwise, he died. He says, but it protects you when you're young, when you're old, and binarut, and it goes on. Okay. The Gemara then comments. Tanya, Rabbi Nirai Omer Maniach, and he had called Manocha Balam, and Malami Vinela Torah, Kamanocha Balam, and Malami Mel Dov, and Mizuka Harehu Mutal Birava, Valtor, and Okane, Omer Lobed Yel Dov, and Lachrit, the Rabbi Zukunato, Beid Yel Dutoma Omer, Bekoya Hashem Yachlif Pukawach. Okay. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Why does nobody seem to agree with, right, Rabbi Nehorai? Again, the reason might be because, right? Right. So either Rabbi Nehorai is the rejected position of Rosh Bar Yochai, or, yeah, it's aspirational. Right? He's saying, right, your real, right, your real Parnassa should be, right, Torah, your real livelihood should be Torah. Right, and that's why no one even bothers arguing. Right, that's really the question, is why does nobody argue there? Right, everyone else says you have a job, so why doesn't the Gemara bring an argument? It just, Rabbi Nehorai just closes off the mission on the Gemara. Right, why do people say, what are you talking about? And the answer might be because no one really disagrees. Right, fundamentally speaking. Right, that as an aspirational statement, you should only learn Torah because it's greater than anything else. That doesn't mean it's a halachic statement, right? And therefore, you have this contradiction between the Gemaras, Rav Shimon bar Chai, Rav Ishmael, and the answer may be different people, different types of tzaddikim. It may be different types of commitments, right? Work, which is legitimate, and actively being mevatel Torah, which is not. Which again assumes that Chochma Yivanit there is just bittel Torah, not something more insidious. It may be that aspirational versus realistic. It may be different stages in Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai's life. But when you take it together, what's the consensus view? According to Gemara in Brachot, it's legitimate at least to have a job, right? Right? Maybe Nahari is right that the aspiration should be only work. Sorry, only learn. But the reality is that you should mix it. Then the question, what is the Gemara in Machlokes add? Does it tell you that, okay, but you can't be learning something else? Or is it telling you that you can't think you've learned all the Torah? That's a problem, right? That is, those are all possibilities in this this Gemara. Now the right the Sfat Emet says something similar to the to the Birkat Shmuel, and he says, look, the Chiddush of the Gemara. How are Miyashiv Rabbi Shmuel? The answer is you're allowed to work, but you're not allowed to work with something that requires concentration, right? Mental concentration in a field other than Torah, right?
Define.
What?
Example, anything along those
well, lines. Well, again, he's understanding Chokhmah Yevanit that way. I don't know, constitutional law, right? Presumably, he would think you can't be a constitutional lawyer, right? You're extending all this, mental. Right, but definitely constitutional lawyer, right? You're spending all your time understanding other legal system.
A lawyer, a doctor, a scientist, anything else Jewish mothers tell their kids to be?
An accountant's not terrible. To be a banker.
Now, the Gaon of Chebin has another diok in this Gemara, and he says the following. He says, wait a second, doesn't the Gemara contradict itself? Right, the real problem, besides the contradiction of the Gemara in Brachot, there's an internal problem with the Gemara in Menachot, which is that the Gemara starts off by saying that according to everybody, the Tamid of Talmud Torah is consistent. And then it brings Rabbi Shmuel that Al-Panav means constant. So either you answer it the ways we talked about, which is it's the Dunning-Kruger effect. He's yelling at his, right, don't think you know everything. He says, alternatively, he says, the question is, and this is his diuk. What does it say? B'shiftecha b'veitecha, you have to learn Torah. B'lechdecha b'derech, right, you have to do work. And he says, what's he saying to him? If you're b'lechdecha b'derech, you're going to work, that's legitimate. But what are you asking me? You don't have to go to work. You have the freedom to learn. You're sitting at home. You're asking me what I can learn. There, you don't have the right to learn something other than Torah. If you have to go to work, go to work. Right? Again, this is of the approach that, again, this is all in the same sort of sphere of Rav Baruch Be'er, that the message of this Gemara is that, now obviously Rabbi Lam, in defending Torah Mada, right, that's the point of the book, will note that what is therefore going to be the what is the best defense, though, against the Bittul Torah critique? What's the best? What? Yeah, why is it not Bittul Torah? Yeah, right. Is that this isn't right? The best response to this is if you think that the fundamental response to Talmud to the critique of Torah Umada, right, learning other things is that it's Bittul Torah, however understood. The best way to solve that problem is to believe. And that's what he goes on. This is why he ends this chapter and say the solution to this critique, right? What's going to be the solution? Because at best you'll say, okay, it's not usher, right? But what's the solution to put a positive? Is to say, right? It is Torah, or it enhances Torah, or something along those lines. And that's why we'll come back to this next week. But you have to analyze that the central thing here of the Gemara is how do we relate to Bittul Torah, right? It hasn't yet gotten to, well, what about other things, right? Chachma Yevanit here is the non-Torah. We have to get into problematic things or possible ways of making it not that way. But, okay, let me just throw out a few other perspectives. Again, many people go to the direction, based on the assumption that Chachma Yevanit is like philosophy, that the difference is Parnassa versus other wisdoms. Again, what we'll have to see next week is this all hangs on Chachma Yevanit, meaning something like philosophy, like another limud, rather than something that's insidious, right? Right? But once you see that Rashi and Rav Rishonim think that Chachma Yevanit has nothing to do with philosophy, it has to do with, can I learn these problematic things? Right? This will have a totally different perspective. Now another, let's just get this thought out. The Chida is another way of being Miyashiv Rabbi Shmoya, Rishon Bar Yochai. He said, look, there's two mitzvot. Lo yamush, what does it mean for the Torah to be out of your mouth? That's to not learn even morning and night. Why does he have such a high aspiration? Because there's also a positive mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Those are two separate questions. One is how much you have to learn, and the other is at what point is considered abandoning Torah. There's a, right, you can have in between where you're not abandoning Torah, but also not being Mekayim, Talmud Torah. Now, according to that understanding, does Rabbi Yerushalmi Bar Yochai think you actually have to learn all day? Yes.
Yes.
Right, he just says you're not Mevatil,
right,
the mitzvah.
Yeah, the Shiur mitzvah.
The Asa and the Lav, right?
Again, the Acharet Moshe argues again that that maybe the difference is the letter of the law, which is you only have to learn once at night, once the other, and then the Gemara in Brachot is aspirational. You should have Bitachon that would let you learn all day.
Okay.
One second. He just argues that what's the difference? What's the machlokes Reish Shmuel and Shem Rechai? He says maybe Reishmael, Shem Rechai and Reish Shmuel agree on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What do they argue about? Right? A little bit of Yiddish for you. Right? What do they argue about? Bitachon. Is it legitimate to rely on God and not be involved in this world? Right? The argument is really about Bitachon. They both agree on Talmud Torah that it's legitimate. The question is, am I allowed to rely on God for an ace? Right? That's another perspective that they say. Yeah, so those are really a bunch of different suggestions. But so basically, right, again, you see different perspectives, but the consensus is that that I think that this Gemara is fundamentally about Bitl Torah. And therefore, what you need to do to understand it is to bring it in conversation with the other texts and figure out, right, and realize that there's really multiple questions at play, right? Are there different types of Bittul Torah? Is there a difference between halacha and aspiration? Is there a difference between your chiyuv from the vantage point of Talmud Torah and your potential chiyuv from the vantage point of emuna? Is there a difference between abandoning the Torah and learning the Torah? Right, all those different distinctions come into play here. The consensus view, basically, Marn Brachot, seems to be that the proper way is to be pragmatic, right? Even if, in light of Rabbi Noah, your aspiration theoretically should be learning Torah all the time, if you could, right? The last point is, again, what I mentioned before is what Ray Lam says, is that, okay, but the assumption of all these discussions is, how do I justify, quote-unquote, Bittul Torah? The next question you have to do is, what's wrong with Chachma Yivanit, and is there any possibility that there might be a wisdom out there that would be mutter, not because I define the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as only morning and night, but because I view that limud as itself part of Talmud Torah writ large, right? And that's really the direction we have to take, which is the second stage in this Gemara, okay?